You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 1st of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I do have to apologise. We don't have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. He has a prior engagement, but he will be back next week. And of course, you can check out the Church of the Lampshade show that he does on Tuesdays to get yourself some more Grandpa Lampshade. So you're just going to have to put up with myself today. And we have one main subject that we're going to be looking at today, which is discrimination against white people brought about by this coronavirus. Now, obviously, if you're a regular listener to the Daily Nationalist, you will know that we've been covering the fact that there is a disproportionate number of black and minority ethnic people that appear to be coming down with this virus. They're more likely to die from the virus. There is a question over the figures. There is a question of what it actually is that is causing this. And there's a big push from the establishment to blame white people for this. This appears to be the sole reason why they have got Baroness Lawrence heading the investigation, whose son was murdered by white racists, or so we are told. She has no medical background, so quite clearly she is not going to be an objective person investigating this, and her skills lie in finding ways to blame white people for black people's problems, basically, and they've made her the head of this investigation. So we know that that's the direction that this is going to go in. We heard earlier this week that at a hospital in the southwest of England, blacks were going to be classed as vulnerable, so they wouldn't actually be put in any situations where they might actually catch COVID-19. And now it appears that this is being rolled out all over the country. NHS staff from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds will be given different roles away from the front line under plans to reduce their disproportionately high death rate from COVID-19. So if they're going to be taken away from the so-called front line, who is going to be there on the front line? White people. That's who. It's white people who are going to have to take the danger, who is going to be put in the most dangerous positions. And who is it these white people are going to be treating? Well, we've just been told that there's a disproportionate number of non-whites that are patients with this COVID-19. So the black and minority ethnics are not going to have to treat the black and minority ethnic patients. The white doctors and white nurses are going to have to treat the black and minority ethnic patients. Black and minority ethnic personnel should be risk assessed and reassigned to duties that leave them at lesser risk of contracting coronavirus under guidance set out by NHS bosses in England. And I would suggest the reason why they are more at risk of contracting this coronavirus is because they are not as competent as the white doctors. And the reason why I say that is because statistically, they are not as competent as the white doctors. And we'll get into these statistics in a bit. And I've already pointed out that even the president of South Africa can't put a mask on correctly. And I would suggest that there may be problems with these black and minority ethnic doctors putting them, just even putting their masks on properly. If President Cyril Ramaphosa is anything to go by. The move was unveiled in a letter sent on Wednesday to hospital trusts, providers of mental health care, ambulance services, and organisations providing community-based health care. It makes clear that the new guidance was prompted by growing evidence that people of BAME origin are more at risk from COVID-19 and by the need to save lives. As I pointed out, this is questionable, because if you look at the overall figures for black and minor, the overall figures of death rate, you will find that black and minority ethnics make up 16% of the figures. And according to the last census, they make up 14% of the population. So there really isn't actually that much difference. I think what is going on here is that in places like London, which is the centre of the outbreak, it's 60% non-white. So there are a lot more non-whites in London, and also a lot more non-whites in the NHS in London. So you would expect to see more of them actually getting this virus. So it's 16% really isn't that much of a difference, is it? It's just in some particular areas, I think, that blacks are more likely to get it. And also we've seen the same thing happening in America. And of course, they've criticized the black surgeon general in America for pointing out that there are certain lifestyles that are associated with black and minority ethnics, which we can see from the statistics, that would place them at greater risk of this virus. It's a lifestyle factors, basically. The 9-page letter from NHS Improvement's Chief Operating Officer, Amanda Pritchard, was sent to those running NHS care organisations across England. It said, "Emerging UK and international data suggest that people from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds are also being disproportionately affected by COVID-19. It references the fact that the Department of Health and Social Care has already asked Public Health England to investigate and report back on the unusually high number of black and minority ethnic people, including workers in the NHS, who are falling ill and dying from the disease. It then tells local NHS leaders in advance of the report and guidance, on a precautionary basis, we recommend employers should risk assess staff at potentially greater risk and make appropriate arrangements accordingly." So what they are saying there is, by risk assessing the staff to be at potentially greater risk, they are making a racial classification. So when racial classifications will benefit blacks, it's perfectly okay to make a racial classification. When racial classifications will benefit whites, then of course it's racist to do so. And what they are saying here is that all blacks are vulnerable, and we can't put them on the front line working with COVID-19 patients because they might catch the disease. But it doesn't matter about putting more white people on the front line. They don't matter so much as our black citizens. That's what this is saying. They're saying that the black citizens are of more value than white citizens. So the white citizens are the ones that are going to have to take all the risk. It does not outline what specific measures they should take to protect the safety of their BAME staff, but it is understood that the new drive to reduce the BAME death toll would allow such personnel to be redeployed to areas or services where they would have less chance of becoming infected. They may also be given priority for testing if they develop symptoms. And this is rather like the way that they try to get down the number of blacks that we have in prisons, by simply not sending them to prison. They haven't done anything to actually lower the rate of blacks committing crime. All they've done is lowered the rate of them being sent to prison. And what they're doing here, they're not actually doing anything to prevent them from catching this virus. They're not actually getting them to change any of their behaviours. They're not actually getting them to wear the correct PPE, making certain that they are wearing the PPE and that they are wearing it correctly. they're just going to take them away from any situations where I would suggest their own incompetence could actually harm them. Because, as I say, if we look at these statistics, we will see that black and minority ethnic doctors in particular have a name for incompetence. I've got two reports on it here. 3 out of 4 doctors struck off the medical register in 2012 were trained abroad, figures show. It means that those who qualified overseas were over 5 times more likely to be struck off than British graduates. 5 times more likely. The data comes amidst growing alarm that many foreign doctors are simply not up to scratch, putting the safety of patients at risk. And of course, this is back from 2012, but it's continued since then. It's been perfectly fine putting the patients at risk of incompetent doctors. After all, it's only the white patient that can come to any harm. But now that the incompetence could actually cause harm to the black doctors themselves, oh, we'll have to remove them to somewhere that is has more safety, and we'll just put the white doctors there. So again, it's showing you that the value judgment is that the black doctor is worth more than the white patient. You could say, how do we know that it's incompetence that these people are being struck off for, gross misconduct or whatever? Well, the figures revealed through a Freedom of Information request show that 194 of the 285 doctors struck off for misconduct or incompetence in the past 5 years were foreign trained, while 29 out of the 39 removed from the medical register in the past year received their medical degree overseas. The data from the GMC shows India has the largest number of doctors struck off in Britain since 2008, followed by Nigeria and Egypt. And if you look at the report on these BAME doctors and nurses that have actually died to coronavirus, it tells you they were from the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. And of course, that is exactly what we have here. We have the Middle East, Egypt. We have Africa, represented by Nigeria. And we have Asia, represented by India. Is it a coincidence that the most doctors that are being struck off for incompetence also come from the same countries that are mostly represented by these doctors that are succumbing to coronavirus? I would suggest that it's not a coincidence, and that there is some relativity between the two. Let's look at this second article that we've got here. It's a little bit more recent. Almost 6,000 foreign doctors were hired in the UK in 2016, despite the ongoing concerns of language barriers. But in 2017, foreign-trained medics made up 72% of those who were struck off. 72%. 3/4 of all the doctors that were struck off were foreign. Doctors who qualified in Bangladesh are 13 times more likely to be incompetent. Shocking figures show. Have we got to the stage yet where Bangladeshis are 13 times more likely to succumb to the coronavirus in the NHS? We will have to wait and see. But that's quite a high figure, isn't it? 13 times more likely to be incompetent than the white doctors. And these figures aren't from some obscure far-right website. These figures are from the Daily Mail. The findings back up the need for a standard testing procedure for all doctors before they begin to practice on patients. Just think about that. We don't even have a standard testing procedure for these foreign doctors when they come in. They don't have to pass the same standards as our white doctors do. So it's no wonder, really, that they are getting through and they're not up to the standards that we need them to be. And they're making these mistakes, which can be very, very dangerous for patients. And now these mistakes are proving to be very, very dangerous for the doctors themselves. And I'll just point out here, I am not knocking these doctors for making these mistakes. I think it's probably related to the average IQ of the country that they come from. I think it's probably related to the standard of training that they're going to receive in a third world country. The people that are to blame for this happening, of course, are our own governments, who, rather than training up our own white people to become doctors, rather than investing in our own brightest members of the younger generation, what they are doing is importing doctors from the third world who they know are incompetent. We have these figures here that are telling us 3/4 of all those struck off for incompetence are foreign. And now that this is beginning to have an effect on the doctors themselves, then they're saying, well, we'll just make them safe. We'll get the white doctors to do all the work. They've got no concern for all the patients that have actually died or become more ill because of the incompetence of these doctors up until now. They are showing more concern for the black and minority ethnic doctors than they are for the white patients and than they are for the white doctors as well. It couldn't be any clearer who they value more. Around 1 in 3 GPs are from abroad, and the NHS has actively targeted them to help plug a staffing shortage that has left it in a crisis. So yeah, this just confirms what I was just saying then about how the government, rather than investing in our own indigenous British people to do this job, they have targeted third world doctors to do the job instead. University College London researchers also found Egyptian and Nigerian-born GPs face an 8-fold higher risk of being investigated for their actions. And of course, they're trying to be politically correct there, saying they run the risk of being investigated for their actions, but they wouldn't be being investigated unless there had been multiple complaints about these doctors. When they do these investigations, it's the doctors investigating themselves, and they will always come down on the side of the doctor. There has to be a huge weight of evidence against a doctor for doctors to actually consider that the doctor may have been incompetent. Plus, they've also got a drive now to get these numbers down, because they're saying that it must be racism that's the reason for why these doctors are being struck off. It couldn't possibly be that the doctors themselves are more likely to be incompetent. So we've got two issues there. Study author Dr. Henry Potts said that they can say with confidence that foreign-trained doctors are more likely to be investigated for incompetence. Just like we can say with confidence that foreign-trained doctors are more likely to catch coronavirus. If a poor doctor makes a mistake, it could have life-changing consequences for patients. So we do need to make sure that that is not happening and that all doctors are competent. See, and now what is happening is that poor doctors could be making mistakes that have life-changing consequences for the doctor. So, of course, we can't have that. So they will, rather than this coming out and the government being shown up for employing these substandard doctors, what they're going to try and do is they're going to blame white people for the fact that these black doctors are succumbing to coronavirus. There is a possibility about the sort of training people are getting in different countries. Another angle is, where are these people going wrong? Is it raw medical competence? Is it language? Or is it about understanding the culture? And notice, of course, he doesn't make any mention of the average IQ of these countries, which is multiples below the average IQ in white countries. The team of researchers analysed nearly 20 years' worth of official data from the General Medical Council. So, of course, that wasn't cherry-picking. That was going over the last 20 years. That was a couple of years back that this was written. We probably got even more black and minority ethnic doctors and nurses that are in the NHS now. We've been looking at these figures for years, that being told that they are more likely to be incompetent. And now the incompetence is hurting these doctors themselves instead of the patients. Getting back to the original article here about what they're doing about this. 1 in 5 of NHS staff in England are from a BAME background, as are about half of all doctors in London. Think about that. 1 in 5 staff, and yet 3/4 of all sackings for gross incompetence. Quite a difference there, isn't it? About 300% more than they would get by their percentage of the NHS staff. Some NHS trusts have already recognised the extra risk faced by their BAME workforce and taken steps to reduce that. For example, Somerset NHS Foundation Trust, which provides a wide range of medical services in the county, has classed them as vulnerable and at risk. And that's all blacks, basically. They're saying they're all vulnerable and at risk, a racial classification there of the entire group, which, of course, anybody else is just not allowed to do. When we try to classify them as a whole group and say, well, we should be looking at them as a whole group, we should be saying that they're more likely to commit crime, they are less likely to do well at school, and we should be compensating for that, we should be basing policy upon that. We're accused of being racist for that, for doing that. But for the NHS to classify the whole group as vulnerable and at risk, oh, well, that's okay. That's not racism. It's racism against whites, is what it is. It has begun asking BAME staff if they feel safe at work, giving them priority for testing, and ensuring that they undergo a fit test in order to wear an FFP3 ventilator mask, which all health professionals working with COVID-positive patients are meant to use as a key part of their personal protective equipment. So blacks are having... It's being ensured that blacks have actually undergone a fit test to make sure they know how to actually wear a mask, again, which brings back the instance of Cyril Ramaphosa being unable to actually wear a mask. What goes on here with these fit tests? They test them out actually putting the mask on, and then they have a way to tell whether the mask is actually fitted to the face. You have to sort of breathe in, and if you can tell that there's a flavour in what you're breathing in, then that means that the mask isn't fitting properly. So it could be that these black doctors are thinking, well, I know how to wear a mask. I don't need to go through that. I already know how to wear a mask. How insulting, thinking that I don't know how to wear a mask properly. So there could be a level of arrogance there, which is why they're not wearing these masks properly. And they're also pointing out here that it is meant to be worn as a key part of their personal protective equipment. And as I pointed out before, there has already been one of these black doctors that died because he wasn't wearing a mask. You should not be around these COVID-19 patients if you're not wearing a mask. I mean, that is pretty basic. Outlining the measures, the Trust's chief executive, Peter Lewis, told BAME staff, "Many of you will be concerned about the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 on BAME colleagues in the UK. We understand that this is worrying, and we want to do all we can to ensure you feel safe and supported during this difficult time. Your well-being is very important. We have heard that many BAME colleagues are understandably worried about their own and their family's health at this time." Do they think that white people aren't worried about their own and their family's health at this time? I mean, we're told that white people have some kind of a white privilege. Quite clearly, blacks have a black privilege. They are being privileged here. They're being put to the front of the queue for the PPE. They're being told that they aren't going to have to actually deal with the COVID-19 patients. White people are going to have to do that job. It's white people that are now going to be put even more at risk than they were before, as if white people don't have any concerns about their own and their family's health at this time. The Guardian revealed last week that minority groups were overrepresented by as much as 27% in the overall COVID-19 death toll. They are also overrepresented among the number of NHS staff who have died with the virus. And as I keep pointing out, they are also overrepresented in the incompetence figures. 13 times more likely to be incompetent if they're from Bangladesh. And a similar number from Nigeria or from Egypt. It is not known why such a disparity exists, but some experts have cited social deprivation and higher rates of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease among some BAME groups as likely factors. Social deprivation, as is why these black doctors and black nurses are getting this virus. How can they be socially deprived when they are working in one of the most highly paid jobs in this country? How can it be social deprivation when they are working as doctors? Higher rates of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. We do see that. We do see that there are a large portion of blacks that have diabetes and heart disease, and a large part of that is because they are very likely to be obese. They have a much higher figure of obesity than you would expect as the average for the general population, which is a lifestyle choice. So lifestyle choices are leading to this, but they're being protected from the consequences of their lifestyle choices, of course. Along with the fact that minority ethnic people make up a greater number of those employed in key worker roles who receive greater exposure to the virus. Think about that word there, key worker. That means very, very important workers that are essential, sometimes for health, essential just for keeping the country going. And yet we have put people that are 8 to 13 times more likely to be incompetent than our own Indigenous Brits into these important key worker roles. This is where the fault lies. I mean, these blacks and minority ethnics, they should be saying to the government, you shouldn't be putting us in this position where we're working as doctors and we're working as nurses. You know we have a low average IQ. You know that our countries are the third world. You know that the education standards aren't up to the same as the standards in white standards, and yet you're expecting us to work as doctors in the situations where we're more likely to be catching this virus. But of course they won't say that. What they will say is they will try and blame the white man for not giving them big enough houses, or as they say here with this social deprivation, and the white government is just trying to cover this up and expecting the white doctors and the white nurses to do this job instead. They're expecting the white doctors and white nurses to go to the back of the queue when it comes to handing out the PPE, as we just heard. And the NHS is expecting white doctors to step in there and actually do the job with the COVID-19 patients, so that the blacks and minority ethnics can be put somewhere else where their incompetence is only going to harm patients and not actually harm themselves. Maybe you could say I'm being cynical in saying that, but these figures, these incompetence figures, the government does have them. Let's move on to another story about the same thing, about discrimination against whites, and this is to do with the exams and the way that the exams are going to be done this year due to this coronavirus. Rather than people actually doing exams, they're going to be graded on their coursework. So what would really be the difference? I mean, if you don't do the coursework, you're not going to get a good grade, are you? What does race have to do with that? Well, everything, according to an equalities watchdog, who has warned the body in charge of school exams that not enough is being done to stop unconscious bias against black and ethnic minority students when teachers award grades for GCSEs and A-levels cancelled in the coronavirus crisis. Well, if the grades are going to be done on the coursework that these students have done, how can there be any bias against them? What are they saying here? Are they saying that these teachers, when they see the name of the child and it sounds like a black name, that they deliberately mark the child down? I don't think that is what is going on. Most of these teachers are fully paid up anti-racist left-wing Marxists, aren't they? They're not going to have any bias against black and minority ethnic students. They've all been through the brainwashing at a university. They've all been programmed to promote diversity and feminism, no matter how much harm it causes to their own people. And a simple way to prevent against this unconscious bias would be to not allow the people that are doing the marking to know what the name of the student was. They could just give them a number, couldn't they? But no, they're going to actually do the opposite of that. Schools have been instructed by Ofqual to rank pupils within each grade for each subject for their GCSEs and A-levels, but they are not allowed to share these with families until results are issued in August. The Equalities and Human Rights Commission says Ofqual's measures will not go far enough to keep grades fair for disadvantaged pupils. The Equalities Watchdog called on the Department of Education to issue guidance on the approach teachers should take to predicting grades and ranking pupils to minimise the risk of conscious or unconscious bias. A student's ethnic background should be provided to exam boards and Ofqual to check for systematic advantages or disadvantages once results have been handed out, it said. So rather than actually not having any bias at all and not knowing what the ethnicity is of the student, they say in order to prevent bias, we have to know the ethnicity of the student. So what that means here is there is bias against whites. It means black and minority ethnics are going to have their grades bumped up, and white people are going to have their grades put down. I mean, what else can it mean? Why else do they need to know what the ethnicity is of the students afterwards? Obviously, there is a bias here. You can't have a bias if you don't know what the ethnicity is of the student and you're just marking the coursework that you've been given. What they're saying here is black and minority ethnics, they're not very good at their coursework, and because they're going to be at home and they're not going to be at school, they're not going to do so well. So we have to compensate for that, and we have to give them a higher grade. But in order to give them a higher grade, we have to find out their ethnicity. We can't possibly just give all the students a higher grade because it's going to be more difficult for them working at home. Again, this is anti-white. It's discrimination against whites. If the evaluation reveals higher than average disparities for pupils with protected characteristics, these should be investigated thoroughly with appropriate remedial action taken, the EHRC added in a statement. So if we see that people with a lower average IQ, black and minority ethnics, if we see them getting slightly lower exam results than the average, then this has to be investigated and it has to be compensated for. So basically, it doesn't matter how hard these students work at or how little they do for their coursework, they're still going to get their grades bumped up to the average. This is this drive for equality of outcome rather than just having equality under the law. We see this drive for everybody to do the same regardless of how much work they put in or regardless of how much merit they actually have. Students should also be able to appeal on grounds of suspected unlawful discrimination. So any black students that don't get the grades that they want, they can just sue on the grounds of suspected unlawful discrimination. And when it is discovered that they are actually black, then they're going to win this, aren't they? Because they're going to say that it was an unconscious bias that was there because the students weren't in school and they were having to study at home, and the examiner should have bumped up the grades because he was grading one of these poor disadvantaged non-white students. It comes after race equality think tank the Runnymede Trust sent a letter to Ofqual and the DfE on Wednesday raising concerns about potential bias against black students. Students who do not feel their calculated grade reflects their performance will also have the opportunity to sit an exam in the autumn. So there you go. If they feel that there's been this unconscious bias, they can always go and sit an exam in the autumn. But of course, they're not going to do that because they will stand to actually gain more by claiming there was unconscious bias and getting their grades bumped up. And of course, all of this, you know, we shouldn't be blaming these black students or blaming these black or minority ethnics for this, because these equalities watchdogs, they were all put in place by our our government, a government that is voted for by our people. And if you're going to say, well, yes, but it's the influence of Jews or the influence of Arabs that are actually in our governments. Well, how did they get into our governments? How did they get into our countries? They got into our countries because we allow them into our countries because we voted for the politicians that allowed them in. Because we voted these people in and we didn't listen to Mosley and we didn't listen to Enoch Powell and now we're reaping the rewards of that. And we went to war against Germany and the rest of Europe. And this is the effects of that. This is the results of that, the result of our own bad decisions coming back to bite us. You can't blame black and minority ethnics for taking advantage of these things that we have given them. It's us ourselves that gave them to them. And you can even look at the blacks and you can say, well, you know, they've got this low average IQ. How do they manage to get together to organize all these advocacy groups that they have? Well, it wasn't blacks that got them together, was it? It was, in most cases, it was communists that did that. And of course, we know that communism was mainly Jewish, but it was also aided by their Gentile servants and their Gentile co-conspirators. And how were they able to do that? Well, they were able to do that through the white people that were in Freemasonry. And they used the white people that were in Freemasonry to advocate for them before they were actually given civil rights, which they got in the French Revolution. But all the way through this, it's white people that have given in to temptation. It's white people that have thought that they could use these minorities in order to gain some kind of an advantage. And rather than working with their own people, it's always greed and thinking that we could use these ethnic minorities to benefit ourselves that has caused all these problems. When really we should just, you know, if a job is worth doing, do it yourself. If a job is worth doing, it's your own people that should be doing it. And we should be looking out for our own people. And because we haven't, because we've put other things first in the past, that's why we are in the situation that we're in now. So don't blame the minorities for it. Look to yourself for the reason why this happened, because we all have the same failures in our character, and that's what we need to work on. And these people that are in government, they have the same failures in character. You couldn't say that if you were in the position that some of these elites are born into, that you wouldn't do the same thing that they've done. People can't say that. You can't walk a mile in another man's shoes. You can, because you don't know the things that have led to why they are the way they are. All we can do is make certain that we are not like that. Make certain that you are not the sort of person that would sell out his own people for a quick buck and think that it would be better to do things with another people rather than do things for your own. That's all you can really do now that we're at this late stage, is just make certain that you don't do anything like that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.